Oh, Lord, y'all ready for this? Woo! I must say the purpose of favor. I'm going to try to get through as much as I can. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you. You guys are flowing tonight. We're going to go to Luke chapter 1, verse 26 and 35. I got a lot of scriptures, so just kind of flow with me as fast as you can. Keep up. Luke 1, 26 through 35. I want to challenge you this year to become students of the word of the Lord. I want you to transition from followers. Jesus didn't call you to follow. He called you to be a disciple. You're not a follower, you're a disciple. There is a big difference. You can follow a thing and never become a thing. But it's impossible to become a disciple and not become something. You're never going to become the you that you are meant to be if you're avoiding the hard trials, the hard confrontations. This is a year where God wants to blow your mind. I don't know if you know this. Chantel was already tapping on it just a minute ago in worship, man, where you got to know. You have to know. Listen, that line in there, we sang it 100 times in the house, but breathe deep. Know that he is good. It was tearing me up over there. I was like, breathe deep and know that he, you have to know that God is for you. You have to know the plans that he has for you are plans for you to walk in favor, walk in success, walk in healing, walk all the promises of God. He has already spoken over your life. The only issue that we have is, are you aligned to those? You cannot pray for healing on one hand and then on another hand, all of your habits are killing your health. We want healing, God's offering wholeness. Some of us have failed to be healed because we stopped at an encounter with Jesus and never obeyed what the encounter told us. Whew. The man is blind. Jesus spits on his eyes. That's not enough to see. The next thing is you need to go wash. Don't stop at an encounter with Jesus. Do what the encounter told you to do. Everybody say healing comes in steps. It's amazing how many people are walking around offended with God because you failed to take the steps. It didn't make God a liar. It makes us disobedient. So we're going to get into what favor is. It's a spiritual term tonight. So I want to dig here. Let's go to Luke. We're going to read pretty much the whole chapter of Luke 1. Y'all ready? Come on, we ready? All right, let's go. Let's read. Luke, we're going to start in verse 1. Let's start in verse 5, but we're just going to read all the way through. Just swing over there to verse 5. Okay, let's read.
In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. Now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of incense offering. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him,
watch,
standing to the right of the altar of incense. Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. You will have joy and gladness."
Continue.
"And many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb." Mm. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord, their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah.
Now, let me teach you something here. Remember, I've taught this in this house. You see how everything is capitalized now in the next passage here where it says to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children. Everybody see that? Why is that? Because he's quoting the Old Testament. That's why that's there. So this is something you can also find in the Old Testament, which makes this significant. I love talking with atheists. I often say there would be no atheists if there was no God. The fact that they're there means there is one. Second of all, the universe means nothing. We shouldn't know about it. It's so imperative to understand that the book, this is what makes the book so valuable. And I personally believe part of the calling of my life is to deal with helping minds understand the vastness of God. Someone said, well, man, it just all seems like it was just written down and you know, somebody manipulated all this. That's impossible. The Bible is not a book. It is a library. The Bible is not a book. It's a library. You're talking about 66 books of authors who never met them, any of them, that was literally writing about the same Christ, the same birth, the same resurrection, all throughout the 66 books, thousands of years apart. They all come to the same conclusion by the Spirit of the Lord, and you're telling me it's happened chance? Woo, what a coincidence that over thousands of years they all get it right. And then we put it into a canon, a library. So when we look at this, it says he'll turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children. This was something that was prophesied a long time before it ever manifested. So here he is, John the Baptist, as we know him. He'll turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children. Notice how God changes relationships. Listen to me, dads. Quit looking for your kids to repent first. He does not say that he will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. He says, I'll turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children. It starts with the fathers. Why do you think that there is such a vast attack on what it means to be a man? If the enemy can get to the pillars, all of society falls down. It all falls down. This is so imperative. It is very important that every man understands their role in the family, in the economy, in the world that they live in. You are more than just a strong muscle in the house. Your mentality, your emotions, everything that God put in you is needed in the earth. I was in the mall today, and me and KK were sitting there eating, and I heard all this commotion, and this lady was going back and forth with this other guy, and man, he was calling her all kinds of stuff, and she was saying all kinds of stuff. The stuff he was calling her, I'm just glad it wasn't me and Shawnee. And I'm like, man, I'm gonna have to get up and say something. Well, next thing I know, this guy, he's, you're this and that, and I can't remember what it was all about. Something about some crunchy fries or something. You know, your fries ain't right, it's gonna bring the devil out. And all of a sudden, I was looking at Kay and everything started to calm down. Well, I looked back over, the husband stepped up. He said, sir, hey, that's my wife. I don't care what the issue is. That's my wife. You're going to talk with respect and we're going to figure this situation out. The whole thing de-escalated. Why? Because there was some authority present. Now, if that rubs you wrong, it's because you now have probably been hurt by somebody who claimed to have authority. You don't throw authority away just because you've seen it abused. That's how the enemy gets you. That's how the enemy, you never throw the baby out with the bathwater. That's not how this thing heals. There's something, what am I saying? There's something significant about you as a man, as a father that's needed in the earth. It's needed. That doesn't mean that the mother's not needed. They're just as valuable in the role they're supposed to play. We got Most churches are filled with all women because we're steady dogging the men. They don't want to come to church because we made church all, it's too feminine. And they don't feel right about it. They're in here and they're like, well, man, what's all the crying stuff about? It doesn't mean you're not a worshiper because you're not up here going, that's not the way you're cut. Some of the most sincere worshipers I know will sit there like this. Never shed a tear. I know worshipers, some of them will pick you up and hallelujah. You know, I've seen it all. Worship comes in sincerity, but in all forms. Just be what God made you to be. Amen, somebody. How many can say amen? We need our men. So, the father's back to the children. I wouldn't even preach on that. And the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous make ready the people prepared. Now let's continue. Go down to the next line here. We're still talking about favor. So Zechariah said to the angel, how will I know this for certain? Look at the question. What did the angel just say? He said, A, B, and C, this is what's going to happen. But then he says, how do I know this for certain? This is Zechariah. Kept the law. Was blameless before God. I need y'all to grab this, man. This is going to hit you. Did everything right, and all he did was ask a question, y'all. And look what happened. For I'm old, man. And my wife is advanced in years. Continue. Watch this. The angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. And I have been sent to speak to you and bring you the good news. Continue. Behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until all these things take. He put the spirit to shut up. He said, you want to ask questions? I'm giving you this word from the presence of God. You see me, but you don't know where I'm standing. I'm in the presence of God, and I'm telling you what's going to happen. I never asked you about how is it. It's going to happen. There's no doubt coming from the messenger. How's this going to happen? This is impossible. How's this going to happen? All he did was ask a question. Now let's continue. Go down to the next part right here. Watch Gabriel now. Go to verse 26. Same chapter. Now watch. Now the angel shows up. Let's read.
Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee.
Same angel.
Nazareth.
Same angel. Watch.
To a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have been found, for you have found favor.
Everybody say that, for you have, come on guys, found favor. With God. Come on, continue.
And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end.
Now watch this.
Mary said to the angel,
How can this be? Again, how's this going to happen? Now, what's the difference? They both asked the same question to the same angel. One of them was punished. It was not able to speak. The other one found favor. What's the difference? Because one of them had favor. Gabriel never showed up to Zacharias and said, you're highly favored. He just said, this is what God's going to do. He showed up to Mary and said, you are highly favored. Favor permits you to ask questions. You need to get this, because one man was blameless before the Lord, and that did not permit him to ask the questions. Your ability to do everything right doesn't put you in the right posture to understand the thing. God only goes silent when you are not in the position to understand what he's trying to teach you. He'd never waste words. He said, there's more to the disciples I want to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. God's answers means you're able to bear it. When he's silent, it's because you are not there yet. You can't bury it yet. You're asking for an answer that will crush you. So he gives you the daily bread stuff. I'm going to build them up. Get the strength up. Because mysteries are meant to be bore. God's answers are weighty. They're heavy. You know, we always often talk about we want to see the glory of God fall. Man, that is such bad theology. It don't fall. I don't know where we get that. The word dokeo, where we get glory, means in the Old Testament, well, we get kabod for glory in the Old Testament, which means heavy and weighty. But notice that when it gets to the New Testament and is translated in Greek, it means something different. It means to whisper to one. The glory of God is manifested through him whispering to you. It comes through communication. This okay tonight? This is actually some really profound things to think about. What's the difference between Zechariah and Mary? Favor. Favor makes the difference in everyone's life. There are things that God will promote in somebody. Listen, the person you're sitting next to may be way more gifted, way more talented, and have all kinds of tools that you don't have. Why do you keep getting promoted and them not? Favor. There is a difference when somebody has favor on their life. And the thing I love about favor, and I'll go back and say it's a spiritual term, because you do not get to wake up and say, I'm favored. No. God chooses when you're favored.
That's right.
It doesn't matter who hates you. It does matter who loves you. Let's say that one more time. It does not matter who hates you in this world. They can't stop nothing God is doing. They can sit back there, grind their teeth. They can know everything about your past. They can talk and dog you and do all the stuff they want. None of that stuff changes nothing. Nothing. It does matter, though, who loves you. Y'all ready to get in this? Now, if I was to say, what does favor mean? Most people would say it's unmerited. That's just not true. That's just one-dimensional. See, we have to see favor multidimensionally, because if you do not see it that way, you're going to get a misunderstanding of what God has called you for in the season you're in. Most people are frustrated because they think everything that God has spoken over them is supposed to just happen without their disciplines. And the problem why God can't get none to you is you are lazy. You will not do what God has told you to do. You put 2 days in and you go, oh, hallelujah, look at God. And then you off the track. Where you at? You know them TikTok videos going around with that brother's over there kicking everybody's stuff? You guys seen that one, the big strong dude? He's doing all the weight training, and then he'll see one of his people that he's training ordering some Wendy's or something. He'll walk up like this and just kick it out of their hands. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do to us. My God, you just told me you'd give me your heart and your life and sang all this stuff to me. And we're ready to go, and here you are, back in line doing the same stupid stuff you've always been doing. And then you come to me and you're frustrated. God wants to be more than a redeemer to you. He wants to show you all of the wonders that he has already spoken over your life. The devil's the only one that deals in possession. God will not possess you to bring a promise. You have to align yourself to it. Let you think on that one. Here we are. So I want you to put this down. Favor is unmerited when it's dealing with grace. The grace of God is unmerited. You cannot become righteous in and of your works. It doesn't matter if you're living more holy than so-and-so, none of that stuff. The righteousness of God comes through faith and grace married together, right? Grace is God's part to where he redeems us at the cross. He reveals who we are in sonship, all of these things. But faith is what we do on our part. We are saved by grace through faith, amen? That's unmerited. Nothing you could do about that. But all the other aspects of favor are merited. Means you have to work for it. You want to be successful? You got to work for it. You want a better marriage? You got to work for it. You want better relationships? You got to work for it. Everything that you desire, and this is the beautiful thing about desire. Some of the things that we desire are actually God's desire for us. We're just too afraid to actually navigate those things because we are so persuaded by our failures that we're afraid to even look at what we may become if we break allegiance with our failures. I'm not sure that we really know who we are. There's never, ever, 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 ever been a you in the earth before. Say it again. There has never, ever been a you in this earth before. Not even close. The way you think is unique. The way you feel is unique. You know why God has had thousands of generations of people? Because it's the only way that he could express his character in the earth. Every person in here carries a unique side of the Father that nobody else carries. That's why we have to continue in a kingdom that is always ever increasing. That's just how big he is. Say amen. You with me? So look here. Whew. I'll give you a couple of scriptures. Let's hit these fast because I need to get to the next point. But this is something that I want you to think about. Luke, let's go to Luke 2, 52. Let's read this. It says, and Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature. Everybody say that with me. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature. Right here. Now, everybody. And in favor with God and men. Everybody say that. And with favor. Come on. With God and men. Favor is multidimensional. You'll get people that have favor with God. They're praying more. They're praying 29 hours a day. That's what they do. There's only 24, but they find another 4 to put in there. That's all they do is they're in their prayer closet all day. Oh, and you think that that's what's going to make your ministry and everything else just excel? No! You may have found favor with God, but if it doesn't translate to men, it's not valuable in the earth. This is why some of us are missing out on what God has called us to do. We're spending all day in prayer, and this is why the scripture says watch and pray. There is a watching. There is another side of this favor that has to translate to men. And this is funny because this is Jesus. This is the word of God manifested. This is Rhema and Logos that is put together, deity and flesh, humanity put together, wrapped up in one. And the Bible says that he grew in favor with God and men. You would think he already had it, but he had to learn it. He had to learn how to grow in favor with God and men. There is a lack. We have failed to become students of the things that we're called to change. If you think your gifting is enough to change anything, you are mistaken. Your gifting is a seed. You've got to learn. I'll never forget when I first started leading worship. I'd go into these situations with these praise teams, and you start dealing with people from this side of the stage. A lot of times, I'm not speaking of nobody here, but a lot of times you deal with a lot of egos because everybody, you know. I've never had a problem getting more praise team members. I've had a problem getting more people to vacuum and to do all the stuff that doesn't get no glory. Had a problem building those departments. Everybody loves to be seen up here. Come on now. This, you know, you somebody of you up here, but in the kingdom it's completely reversed. This person right here will be last, and this person over here will be first. But I've always found lessons in dealing with difficult people. And I've learned through the grace of God how to navigate multiple personalities. And there's several of them in here. Some of y'all real easy to get along with. Some of y'all just difficult. And you're not difficult all the time. It's just on Monday through Saturday. Sunday, you're pretty cool. Anybody know any difficult people? Just look at them right now. No, don't do that. So look at here. Watch this. Here's Jesus. Now go to 2 Corinthians 8:21. Man, I really need this to land because these are keys that are going to unlock things for you guys. I'm telling you right now, these are keys that are going to help you unlock the next season of your life. Look at here. Read, Pastor Tim. We're going to look at that.
For we have regard for what is honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men.
There's Paul. Look at there. We're not only regarding what's pleasable in the sight of God, but also what is pleasable in the sight of men. It matters what men think. And that don't matter to me what nobody thinks. That's why you're in a stationary position. God has never blessed the earth without using the womb of humanity. Not one time has God blessed anybody in the earth without using a man. The greatest answer to all humanity required the donation of a womb. He could have come down and went, it's all done. No, 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 no. He chooses to get inside of his own creation and work the answer from the inside out. There was mysteries that maybe even God had. God's God. He don't have any mysteries. Really? Really? God don't have any mysteries. So all-knowing God knew what it was like to stand in faith. How would you ever stand in faith if you knew everything? I'm going to mess with your theology. But come on now. Come on now. So God knew what pain was? No, there's a reason he came, because he wanted to be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He created a limited vessel, then got on the inside of it and expressed love through it. Now he knows what you're going through. Come on, somebody. Ooh, y'all quiet tonight. I'm trying to teach. So look at Paul said, we got regard for God and for men here. Jesus said, look, what did Jesus say in the last part? He said, I grew in favor with God and men. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 26. Look what this says, Old Testament. Now the boy Samuel was growing in what? Stature and favor with both with the Lord and with men. Are y'all catching this? Look at that, man. They grew with both God and with men. This is so important. I put this down if you're taking notes. We must ask for understanding in both realms, heaven and earth. Favor is not just God putting a presence that attracts people to you. Favor is God putting something on you that you become a student of as well. You have to learn to become a student. You need to ask God to open your eyes to learn how men think, how they move. There's a reason why millionaires keep getting more money than the rest of us. Why? They know how the economy moves. Why? Because they're studying it. They're looking at it. Shawnee and I just got mutual funds. What do? We hired a broker. Why? That's his job, is to study the economy, when it shifts, when it moves, all of these things, so that our investment is the safest it can possibly be. That's his job. We hired somebody with understanding in a dimension that we do not have. Anybody who hires anybody, you should put faith in the fact, I'm not paying somebody money when I know more than they do in the area I'm paying them in. There is a favor that we need to understand. Now, someone said, well, I'm just all about the kingdom. It's all about the glory of God. This is exactly why the kingdom is not manifesting in the earth. Because you're locked up in heaven, in the heavenly realm the whole time, and none of it's translating to the earth. And this is where his heart's at. The Muslim community is doing well. Their religion is expanding. Why? Because they're investing in the next generation. They don't have a rapture in their theology that's taking them out of here so that we just live without any restraint. They are planning for the next generation to come, and they're giving them resources so they don't have to start over. And we're steady starting over every generation because we're living for ourselves. We have no kingdom mindset. Your family and my family should be much further. We should be born into an inheritance. But we're not, because mom and dad's still thinking about them. They're trying to survive because their parents didn't put them in a position. How much further would we be if we started living transgenerationally? Man, this is good stuff. But in order to do that, you got to die to self. You know what the amazing thing is? When you start living transgenerationally, the resources that you're begging to get will start coming to your doorstep. Because God gives seed to the sower. One of the reasons why some of us are not blessed, and I'm not apologizing for this no more in this house. Listen, when you are not a giver, God is not going to give. It's the principle. It is in the earth. If you struggle with just giving God the basic 10% of everything he's blessed you with, what do you think? I mean, this is God is only going to give what he knows he can get through you. Because you're meant to be a blessing to somebody else. If you're living life and it's all about you, no wonder you're in a season where it feels like everything is just, you're just basic, barely meeting the needs. I'm telling, this is not something that I'm preaching because it's old school preaching. Y'all, this has been demonstrated in my life several times. I'll never forget some years ago, man, I was in debt, man. Woo, like almost $5,000 in debt. And I told Shawnee, I said, I got to get this monkey off my back. And here goes the prophetess. Can you pray about it? I don't want to hear that in that moment. Yeah, I prayed about it. God said nothing. That's how I felt. I said, I got to get this money off. She went up to bed. You know, Shawnee's her prophetic words are like, they hurt. They hurt me. They do hurt me. I'm not going to lie. Praise the Lord. I get on my nerves too. I'm like, oh, man. And I always know when my wife's got a word from the Lord, because if I'm on the couch and I'm pouting, y'all, I go through it in some seasons, y'all. But if I'm on the couch and I'm pouting, I'm like, the vertical don't get it. They don't understand, you know, whatever the pastors go through. And I'm sitting on the couch, and she'll always come down in the chair, and there's always a disposition that she has. It's always a real gentle, very ladylike, and her feet usually touch like this. I could tell you everything about it, y'all. And she sits down, she said, babe. And I already know, here comes a word I don't want to hear, and I already know what she's going to say. And then she'll drop the bomb on me. And so this particular night, she says, well, have you prayed about it? Have you prayed about it? And I said, no. So she went to bed, and I threw up a prayer before the Lord, threw a Tom Brady hail maker. Lord, I need at least 5,000. Amen. Good night. Don't have to be long. We're men. Come on. You know what I need. Come on, God. And then I, you know, took my NyQuil and went to the bed. I get a call the next morning from a pastor. He calls me, hey, man of God. I said, I ain't talked to this guy in 20 years. And he says, man, let's meet in Brighton. I said, what? So we meet, go to Brighton, go to Crackle Barrel, sit down, we're eating, we're talking about the ministry, doing all this stuff. He says, man, this is crazy, man. Here, take this. Open up the check for $5,000. I said, I'm not going to live this down. I'm going to cash this mug. I said, I'm not, you know, so I come down, she says, no way. She acts like she's surprised. She already knew what God was doing. But not only does he give me a check for $5,000, he comes to my church, pulls my whole praise team up. Y'all remember this?
Yeah.
The whole praise, and listen, back then, we only had three singers. Well, he says, God told me to bless the praise team. Who's on the praise team? Listen, people that was auditioning, they ain't even been approved yet. They're up there like this. Listen, the whole stage is like, oh, we got a choir now. He gave every one of them jokers $1,000. When I tell you, that'll make people shout. I was like, oh, now y'all want to shout. He was a major blessing to our ministry, but he was a man that God used. Had I not stewarded that relationship years ago, he may have never even thought about me. Favor with God and men. Treating people the way God wants you to treat them is seed to a future that God may use to them be a blessing to you one day. So I need the praise team to come up here. No, don't. I'm just joking. We'll give everybody $2. It's going to be seed. Amen. So look at here. Just real quick, can I have 5 more minutes here? Proverbs 13, verse 15. Let's bring it in here. I really want to get this last point to you. I ain't got time to get to all this. Let's read this, Pastor Tim.
Good understanding wins favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard.
You see this right here? Look at that. Good understanding wins favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. We'll let that sit just for a second. Good understanding wins favor, but the way of the faithful is hard. Whew. One version will say that the way of the transgression is hard. You know what if you study the etymology there, the word transgress, everybody know what etymology is? It's where the word derived from. It's the origin of the word. Transgression literally means, at its root, to step over something. Doesn't just mean you broke a law. It means you jumped over a necessary step. It means you took a shortcut. It means that you avoided something that you was meant to do. Need you to get that. You're jumping over a necessary part of your process. And it's just like God. It is tempting to do it because God never shows us the middle of a promise. So I understand why we're wanting to skip over it. Joseph didn't have a dream of the pit, the failure, all the stuff that Joseph went through. He just said, God showed me something and you guys was bowing down. Amen. Hallelujah. God shows you the middle, you're going to run from the end. So what he does is he shows you what you can become, but he never shows you how you're going to become it. And so I get the temptation to jump over this thing. And the only way to get there is to go through it. Yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Come on, somebody. The scripture before it says that you lead me on a path of righteousness, but then, yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The shadow of death, the valley, is the path of righteousness. You cannot separate those two. What you're walking through is not hell. It's a valley. There's a reason why it's a valley. You do know that nothing really grows on a mountain, right? Everything that feeds you is in the valley. I need you to get that. Everything that feeds you, all the growth, all the plants, all the herbs, everything that you need to survive, it's all in the valley. Even if you lived on the mountaintop, you got to come back down to get food. Everything that sustains you is in the valley. So yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It ain't death, it's just a shadow. You've been tripping over a shadow. There's only one way to get a shadow, and that's to put an object in the light. You need the sun to get a shadow. Come on, somebody. Light itself don't produce a shadow. An object in the light produces a shadow. Woo. And so we got to understand what the valley really is. Amen, somebody. Say, quit skipping over the process. Quit transgression. Favor requires understanding. See that? Look at favor. Listen, I love it, man. Good understanding wins favor. Become a student of what you're called to. It's not unmerited. It is merited. You must become a student of this thing. If God's called you to business, my God, start learning business. If God's called you to wealth, start learning wealth. Listen to the minds of people that have went before you. They know something you don't. Quit viewing them as your boy or your friend if they've got information that is transforming your life. A lack of honor will stop you from receiving. I don't mind you calling me G, but never get too familiar, because I'm God sent to your life. A lack of honor will make you view me as casual, and this isn't a casual relationship. There's going to be some time I'm going to have to bring rebuke and reproof. You want blessings, it don't come through prayer. It comes through realigning you back to the things of God. Gee. Come on, just say this, God. Break the spirit of laziness in me. Oh, that's spiritual. It feels like rebuke. Good. Embrace it. Sons receive correction. That's what defines sonship, is that we can endure correction. People that are not correctable are not justable. They're not going to fulfill anything in their life. My God, come on, somebody. Woo! I'm teaching tonight. Give me one more thing. I'm going to take another 5 minutes in the kingdom. Kingdom 5 minutes is different, y'all. My God, go to Psalms just real quick. Woo! Everybody say this, hardship always has a history with unfaithfulness. It's 2023. We're getting serious now. Hardship. Look at what it said in Proverbs there. Favor comes through understanding, but what, hardship? What? It always has a history with unfaithfulness. You tell me your hardship, and let's follow the path of where it came from. I'm going to tell you why the hardship is emerging in your life. Somewhere down the line, you broke some type of mental mindset or your disposition. Something about what you did was not following the plan of God. You aligned yourself with another agenda, and you begin to walk it out. But Pastor Gil, you don't know. I don't need to know. I just know that if you want the favor of God, you have to align yourself to it. And this stuff is hard. The gospel and the working of the Spirit and the maturing that you need and that I need is not stuff that you get just sitting through a nice, spicy sermon. It's putting on the right armor. That's why we're told to put on the armor of God. The helmet of what? Breastplate of what? Come on now. Shoes of what? No, the belt of truth. Shoes of peace. Right. The back plate of what? Ain't no back plate, because you ain't ever meant to go backwards. Come on now, God, no, you don't even need protection from what's behind you. It's behind you. Just let Jan say, it's behind me. Come on now, we are a forward-moving kingdom church. Every attack that God has said, listen, this stuff is all coming from the front. Woo! Give me E-flat. No, I'm kidding. I don't know if you can play that stuff or not. I'll try it, though. Tonight, I feel good. I'll learn to hoop right here, right now. Come on. Look at Psalms 5, just last one, and I promise I'm done. This has been all right tonight? Psalms 5, 11 and 12. Look at here. Read this. Check this out.
But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy, and may you shelter them, that those who love your name may exult in you. For it is you who blesses the righteous man, O Lord.
Yep.
You surround him with favor as with a shield.
Favor is a shield. This is the other dimension of favor. It is God's favor working as a shield. So when we are mad because certain things didn't work out, it's because favor is a shield. It is blocking what you and I are unprepared to steward. We have to learn to find peace with God's no's. We have to learn to find peace with God's not yet's. He loves you too much. Think about where you would be right now with all the stuff you've dealt with in your life if God promoted you when you wanted to. Think of all the enemies you'd have. Right now, with all the world being connected, I think the world is too connected right now. You can't do anything without everybody knowing everything. It's a little concerning for me, but think about how your life would be in shambles. All the stuff you would have to live down before the entire world if God promoted you when you thought you needed it. Thank God that his no's are connected to his love. Favor's a shield. Some of you are walking in a season of frustration tonight. And it's not because you don't have favor, it's because you do not understand the favor on your life. You're not intimately familiar with the favor on your life. Here's the beauty, though, of having favor, just like Mary. You're allowed to ask questions. Because there's favor, you're allowed to say, how will this happen? I want to go through a season this year with my church. Real transformation, a practical, natural transformation. Hear me very, very, very serious here now. Supernatural ends with natural. I want the heavens, and the glory and all the stuff that we get in the prophetic realm, the spirit realm here is all wonderful. But some of y'all are going home to a world that is filled with disappointment. And I want you and I to become a student of the favor that's on our life. Get out of our own way and watch what God shows us.